But thank you for being here on such a beautiful Sunday morning. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Josh for filling in for me at the last minute last week. But you know, I think I gave him 3 hours notice. I mean, I called him about 7 o'clock and told him I wasn't going to be able to make it. And he said, oh. But how many of you would agree that he did just a fantastic job? Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about faith, all right? Faith is so foundational to who we are. Faith has also gotten kind of a bad name, if you will, through some people who have taken what would be considered faith and taken it to the way extreme and make those of us who don't seem to have as much faith be less than they are. Well, that's not what faith is, all right? That's not what faith is. And hopefully, we will be able to answer the questions, what is it today, why do we need it, and what does it do for us, all right? And the message today is entitled, Agreement Brings Alignment, all right? Agreement brings alignment. And again, I just love doing this. Would you stand with me, please? Don't you remember when pastors used to go, would you stand with me, please? So do I. I'm not going to say what I remember anymore. And we're going to do our Bible declaration. So today, why don't you just be excited about saying the Bible declaration. Amen. I'm going to start it out with say amen.
Amen.
Okay, now get excited about amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, that's it. That's it. All right. Take your Bible, hold it up to heaven, and say with me or repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. Faith can be kind of a sore subject just for the reason that I mentioned earlier. And though I think that sometimes people have really nothing but good intentions when they say things like that, but sometimes it can come across as being rather rude, okay? Not trying to offend anybody here, so if I have, oh well. Anyway, there's a scripture that's found in Hebrews 11:6 that many of us are familiar with, okay? And it just simply goes like this. But without faith, say, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Okay, we'll do it all. I'll start over realizing that, all right? But without faith,
It is impossible
to please him.
For he that cometh to God
must believe that he is,
and that he is a rewarder
of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. You notice I'm using King James. Well, I'm not sorry, but this Sunday is going to be King James, okay?
Amen.
So, by the scripture, we know that faith is really important, amen? And that without faith, it's just not possible for us to please God. In fact, the Bible says it's impossible. But with faith, pleasing God is something that we can all accomplish, all right? But there's another scripture that's found in Hebrews 10:23 that also teaches us about faith. So if you would please turn to Hebrews 10:23. Or just look up here. Are you there?
Yes.
Or are you looking up here?
Looking up there.
I knew it. All right. Here we go. The writer of Hebrews, and we don't know who that is. It might be Paul. It might be Apollos. It really doesn't matter, okay? But Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Glory to God. He is faithful that promised. Today we're going to look at four important Greek words that are in Hebrews 10:23. And I really hope that it will help us to understand what the verse is really trying to communicate to you and I. Kateko is one of them. That is translated as hold fast. Homologia, which is translated as profession. Elpidos, which is translated as faith. And then aklinēs, which is translated as wavering. Okay? Gary Timmer, could you come up and pray, please? I'd like to get him when he's writing like crazy. I mean, it's just fun, okay? It's just one of those things on a Sunday morning that I enjoy. Hey, go ahead, buddy.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for all that came today. God, I thank you that we can be here, Lord. We can spend time in your presence, God. We can spend time together. Lord, we come here to worship you, Lord, to praise you. Father, to become closer to you, God, and to become closer to each other. Father, I thank you that today, as Pastor West preaches, God, that we will be able to grab a hold of your word, Lord. Father, that it'll help to change us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that each one of us, God, in an area of faith that we would need faith, Lord, that would be increased.
Thank you, God.
Oh, thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your presence. Father, I pray that you would just continue to anoint Pastor West today, Lord. Father, give him the words to speak. God, give him the boldness to preach your word.
Yes, God.
Father, and that he will deliver it just, God, just as you have planned for us, Lord, and that we will receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just wow.
You know what old Pentecostals used to say? You ought to come up under the spout where the glory comes out. That's happening up here, okay? It's just, there is just such a difference. I also wanted to mention about Pastor Josh, my beloved son-in-law. I want you to know that, you know, I called him at 7 o'clock, but God began dealing with him, what, around 2 o'clock? And just brought things up and, you know. So when I called him at 7, he was just like, oh, maybe that's why I was awake all night, okay? So I just want to say again, you just did a phenomenal job. Especially, yeah, clap if you want. I mean, especially, you know, leading worship and preaching the word, that's a lot to do on a Sunday morning. And he just did really good. In fact, I had told him at 7 o'clock, I said, you know, just worship the whole time. And he was disobedient. But in a good way, in a good way. All right? Okay, we'll get on with the message here. The book of Hebrews was written to a group of Jews who had been attacked and persecuted. And it was for their faith in Jesus Christ. So much so were they attacked and persecuted that they were really, really struggling. They were struggling and suffering so severely that they were actually questioning the very foundation of their faith in Christ. And they were tempted to let their faith in Jesus as the Messiah go just to escape the persecution. And I wonder this morning, you know, I wonder, has there ever been a time in your life ever been a time in your life when you have been tempted to let go of your faith? I mean, maybe you were trusting God to deliver you from addiction, but it kept coming back. Come on. Maybe it was a sickness that you were believing for healing. Or maybe it was the mending of a relationship, but it hadn't happened yet. And because of the delay, which you took as a denial, you just gave up. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? It's happened to me, okay, in case none of it hadn't had. Okay, just me, all right? Honestly, if you look at God's delay as a denial, it's going to be hard to hold on to your faith. It really is. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said one more time to his readers. He said this, and this was knowing that they were going through a hard time, knowing that they were just on the edge of giving up, okay? He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. How many of you are glad this morning that he is faithful who promised, okay? There are several key or important words, as I mentioned already, to understand in this verse. And as we take a look at these meanings, hopefully we will see God's message to everyone, okay, who is holding on to his promises in faith. And I don't know if there's anybody in here that can say there's really not a single promise that I'm holding on to. What about the promise of your children being saved, coming back to the Lord? What about, you know, the promise of walking in divine health? Come on. What about, now this is a good one, what about getting a return on your tithe? Amen. Amen. So we're all really holding on to something, all right? First, the writer of Hebrews began his letter by saying this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. In the Greek, the words hold fast are a form of the word kateko, okay? Kateko, which is a compound of two words, kata and echo, all right? The first word, kata, describes something coming down or something conquering or dominated, while echo means to have, to hold, or to possess. When these two words are joined together, they form the word kateko. And what it pictures is someone who has something in their possession and they're holding it down or suppressing it. They're keeping it, okay? They're not letting it go, all right? Suppressing something is not a bad thing, all right? The New Testament has several examples of these words that I think I can give you that maybe will give you a better idea of what they're saying. In Romans 1:18, Paul wrote this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In this verse, the word hold or suppress is the Greek word kateko, which again means to hold down or to suppress. In this case, Paul was talking about ungodly men who hold the truth, but because they don't like the truth, come on, they're trying to hold it down or suppress it and put a lid on it. And, you know, unless it would get out and affect other people. They just don't want the truth to get out. Interestingly enough, and maybe not all of you will agree with me, that's exactly what we see happening in our world today, especially in the media and in the press. Yes. When they don't like the truth, they will sit on a story, all right, by hiding it or suppressing it or holding it down and restraining it. That's what this word hold means. A second example of this word is found in 2 Thessalonians 2:6, which reads this, like this. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. In this verse and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul was describing the great restrainer that was at work in the earth today at the end of the age. And he said that restrainer withholds something, okay? The word withholds, again, is the Greek word kateko, which could be translated as this, to restrain, to hold back, or to suppress. Here, kateko pictures somebody who is putting all his might and all his weight onto something so he can hold it down and stop it from moving or being released. Now, you need to hear how I'm saying this. This is actually a picture of the church in the last days. All right? We are that great restrainer. And part of our role in this world is to restrain evil, all right? To restrain evil. We're called to suppress it. We're called to hold it down. We're called to put a lid on it. So the evil doesn't get away and begin to affect the entire human race. All of this is the meaning of the word kateko, all right? Now, I just want to say this, and I want you to hold on to this. We need to determine and make the decision to never let go of God's promises. Are you with me? We need to determine and make that decision in our mind and in our heart to never let go of God's promises. A good translation of this verse would be, let us suppress the profession of our faith, or let us put all our weight on top of the profession of our faith. And that isn't so it won't get out, it's so we don't lose it, okay? Or let us put a lid on the profession of our faith and hold it down. Because if we aren't determined to hold fast to the profession of faith, life, okay, life, the devil, other people, you know, will try to take our faith away from us. How many of you have made a declaration in faith just to have somebody, a good brother or a good sister, come right behind that and just take away your faith? Say something to you that just absolutely crushes what you just said. Do you understand what I mean? Okay. Let me give you an example anyway. If you're a believer who's trusting God to place his blessings on your finances, let's say. I know talking about tithing is kind of traumatic for some. Sorry. Anyway, if you're trusting God to place his blessings on your finances, you know, you're tithing and you're giving and you're doing what you can do, and you're not seeing the results, the disappointment will try to take the promise of God's provision away from you. Disappointment is a powerful thing. And I think the enemy uses that quite often. Likewise, if you're believing for your body to be healed, okay, but you're not seeing the manifestation of that healing, it's understandable. You can become discouraged, and you can be tempted to let go of the promise of healing. Are you with me? Good. Understand, and I want to say this as clearly and as forcibly as I can. You have to understand that whatever God has promised you, the devil will try to pull it out of you. All right? If you have faith for something, he'll do everything he can. He'll use people, he'll use media, whatever it might be. He'll try to get that faith out of you. And the writer of Hebrews was aware of the enemy's attacks, which is why he said, let us hold fast, okay? Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith. If you're going to see God's promises become a reality in your life, how many would like to see God's promises become a reality in your life? Okay, if you're going to see that, then you have to stay in your place of faith. You have to let these kinds of things come out of your mouth. You know, no one is going to take this away from me. Amen? I'm going to put all my weight on top of God's promise and hold tightly to it. All right? I'm not going to let life, the enemy, or anyone else steal from me what God has promised me. It's a stubborn determination and settled decision that we have to make. We just have to make that, to never let go of the promises that God has made to us. Was that clear? We can never let go of the promises. It doesn't matter how big the delay or how long the delay is. It doesn't matter, if people try to take it away from you. The enemy tries to take it away from you. We cannot let go of the promises of God. Now I'm going to talk about confession or profession, okay? What does it mean to have your confession be in divine alignment with God? Because that's what has to happen. Now that we hopefully have a better understanding of what it means to hold fast, okay? Let's look at the next key word in Hebrews 10:23, which the King James Version translates as profession, and I hate to say this, but it would be better translated as confession, like it is in the New King James Version. It says, let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith. The word confession is the Greek word homologia, which is a form of the Greek word homologio. The word homologio is a compound of the words homos and logio. The word homos means one of the very same kind, okay, remember that, one of the very same kind, and logio means I say, all right? So I say one of the same kind. When we join these two words together to form homologion, it means to say the same thing, to say the same thing, which contextually means that God wrote in his word, or what God wrote in his word, lines up with what you believe in your heart, okay? Hence, your heart beats in sync with his heart regarding that subject. In other words, we're saying the same thing, all right? That's what we have to get to. What God is saying, we are saying. What is in God's heart is in our heart. When you do this, when our confession is in sync with God's, you're seeing and hearing things the same way as God did, okay, and as he did, he is. So you're in divine alignment, if you will, on how to overcome obstacles to fulfill your destiny. When you apply this understanding to the use of the word homologia, it means this, that when God has given you a specific promise, then you have to come into divine alignment with that promise. You have to have faith in that promise, all right? Sometimes when God gives you a word through someone else or through your reading of the scripture, that's why it's so important that you read the scriptures every day. And you know as you know that God has spoken that word to you, there's still this doubt that can linger, especially if you don't see it come to pass right away. But once and that's really what you did, talking about last week. You know, when you were preaching, you just held on to the word that was given at youth convention, and it took, 6 months, I think you said, but it came into fruition. The one thing he didn't do was he didn't share it with anybody because he knows what people do. You know what I mean? And so now he was waiting for it to be fulfilled, and it just kept unfolding and unfolding until he's where he's at today. Praise God. In fact, give God praise this morning for what he can do in our lives. Yeah. Yeah. When we don't see a word come to pass right away, and when we recognize that there's doubt and unbelief, we need to get it out of our minds, okay, and bring ourselves into alignment with God. Are you with me? You have to kick it out. You can't believe the stuff that you read in the media about what you read in the Bible. You can't believe what some people say. I've had some people come to me and say things that are so confident in what they said. It says in the Bible, after all, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. No, it doesn't. Well, the Bible says that God won't give me anything I can't handle. No, it doesn't. Read that one again. Read that scripture again. It doesn't say that. And I want you to get this. In divine alignment, if you will, you'll begin to see and hear the same way God hears. How awesome is that? And your heart will begin to beat in sync with his heart on whatever the issue is, whether it's sin, whether it's a word that you've gotten, a promise you're standing on. It requires that you crucify your flesh and renew your mind, okay? So that you and God are fully aligned with what he wants to do in your life. Amen? Is this making sense? I hope it is. No, I'm really depressed. Is this making sense? Okay, I knew it did. Okay. Again, being in divine alignment with God, which is what the Greek word homologion describes, and please, please, please just hear this. Please hear this. It isn't just parroting the promises with your mouth. Okay? It isn't just repeating something that you've heard, something that you've read. Okay? It's staying in his word and in his presence, so that your heart and his heart get into this full agreement, if you will, and so they can be in harmony with each other. Why? Because divine alignment also releases forgiveness and healing. The same word, homologia, is used in 1 John 1:9, which says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confess here is a form of the word homologion. And its use here tells us that confessing sin is not the same as admitting sin. Uh-oh. Confessing sin isn't the same thing as admitting to sin. You know, the truth is, most people don't confess their sin. They just admit their sin. Yeah, I did that wrong. Because when you confess your sin, when you do that, it means you and God are getting on the same page about your sin. All right? You're seeing it and hearing it the way God does. How you feel about it and how he feels about it are exactly the same. And I'm going to tell you something. We would not repeat the same sin over and over and over again if we were on the same page with God and knew what it really did to us. Amen? If we really understood what that sin does to our life, we wouldn't be doing it again. Okay? Anyway, you're seeing and hearing it the way God does. How you feel about it and how he feels about it are exactly the same. And your hearts are beating in sync on the issue of that sin that's in your life. How many of you... Oh, this is dangerous. How many of you would admit that there's sin in your life? Thank you. Thank you. But when you get into a place of agreement like that with God, that's when your confession becomes powerful and the forgiveness for sin is released. And I want you to hear this too. The same can be said of healing. All right? I don't want anybody here to take this as condemnation. It is not condemnation. It's what the Bible says. And so if it's what the Bible says, then I think we should line up with it. Amen? Okay. The same can be said of healing. The Bible says this: by whose stripes you were healed. I love that scripture. I've been quoting that scripture. I've been, you know, for all the stuff that's happened in the last year, man, I'm still quoting that. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm the healed of the Lord. But I believe it, and my heart is on the same plane as God's is, okay, on that, all right? When you confess this promise, you're not just saying, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Instead, what happens is you and God are getting on the same page, all right? That's what that confession does. You've embraced what God has said. You see and hear the subject of healing through Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it just changes everything. It changes everything. And you feel about it the way that God feels about it, and your heart and his heart are beating in sync together. So understand, confessing that you are healed by the stripes of Jesus means you are pulled into divine alignment. It isn't just parroting that promise. It isn't just throwing that out there. You know, I hope, you know, in your mind you're going, I hope, I haven't seen it yet, but I hope. No, you're getting on the same page as Jesus regarding healing. And in that position, you make a confession or a declaration which can produce divine results, all right? Another point that I'd like to make is this, okay? Real biblical hope is actually a confident expectation. All right? Looking again at Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith. What's, you know, just so interesting to me here as I was looking this whole thing up is that when you read this in the Greek text, not that I can read Greek text, okay, but you never imagine which word isn't there. Faith. It's not there. Faith isn't there. Instead is the Greek word elipidos, which is the word for hope or expectation. To be clear, this is not a, I hope so. Are you going to get healed? I hope so. You know, it's not that kind of I hope so. Hope that just kind of says something good might just happen. This word, Elpidos, describes a biblical hope, which is a hope that is so real. I mean, it's so real that it is turned from just a hope into a confident expectation. Are you with me this morning? I think you ought to get excited this morning. A confident expectation is what you can have in what it's talking about here. It's the picture of a person who is totally expecting God's promise to come to pass in their life. Totally expecting it. It's a full expectation that what God has told you will absolutely and without a doubt come to pass. Amen? And again, you should get excited about that. In fact, that person who has that full expectation is waiting for its manifestation right now. No, you don't get it. Right now. That's how they see it. They don't see, well, I know eventually, you know, God may heal me in heaven. Oh, you don't need healing in heaven. I'm sorry. You need healing here on earth. Okay? But it's the person who is saying, not only with their mouth, but believing in their heart, while they are waiting for it to come to pass, they're waiting for it to come to pass right now. Right now. They wouldn't be surprised if it happened now, or now, or now. Do you understand what I mean? It's a confident expectation that it's going to happen. Remember, the writer of Hebrews was writing to these Jewish believers who were very discouraged and they were very disheartened. They had been waiting and waiting and waiting to see some good or God things happen. And because they hadn't seen any results, they were just tempted to let go of their faith. So, the writer of Hebrews wanted to jolt them, all right? And he wanted to jolt them out of their negative spiral, which they were in. And the writer says, hold fast the confession of your faith. In other words, grab a hold of it, all right? Grab a hold of it. Put all your weight on it, and don't let anyone take it away from you. I don't care if it's demonic or if it's people. Don't let anyone take it away from you. I'm talking about your confession. Get into agreement and alignment and on the same page with God, and don't let go of his promises. Amen? Don't let go of his promises. Now, just hear this for a moment. As you get into divine alignment with God and what he has promised you, it will cultivate a full expectation. Say full expectation.
Full expectation.
That what he has promised is exactly what he will do. Oh, come on. What he has promised is exactly what he will do. Glory to God. Glory. What he has promised is exactly what he will do. Glory to God. To all of this, and I'm sorry if this is rather long. I'm not sorry. I was told I apologized too much, so I take that back. Anyway. To all of this, all right, the writer of Hebrews added the words without wavering, okay? Which is a very interesting term. It's the Greek word aklanēs, all right? Which is a word, it's the word kleinēs with an A attached to the front. The word kleinēs is from the word kleino, and you don't care about that, but it means to recline or to go to bed, okay? It describes someone who yields. I hope that's not been you, but I know all of us have done it. Or someone who surrenders. Or one who gives up their ground or their territory. But when you put an A in front of kleinēs, it cancels or reverses the meaning, okay? So the word aklanēs describes one who doesn't yield, and one who doesn't surrender, or one who doesn't give up their ground or their territory. It's talking about a person who doesn't lie down or go to bed on their expectation and anticipation of what God promised. In other words, they believe it. They actively believe it. I don't know about you. You know, there's times I can't count them, when I have not done it like this, but the truth is, you can't I'm going to say it like it says here. You can't lay down or go to bed on the expectation and anticipation of what God has promised you. You have to believe it. You know, faith is a verb, right? I mean, we have faith, and that means we have to do something about it. Well, one thing that we have to do is not lie down and not go to bed and not give up. So by using the word aklanes in Hebrews 10:23, the writer was saying this about faith. Don't you dare do it. Don't you go to bed on your faith. Hold fast to it and embrace tightly the promise that God has made to you without wavering. Hold it down and don't let anyone take it away from you. Get into agreement with God about what he has promised, having a full, say full expectation. Having a full expectation that what he has said, he is going to do. And glory to God. I mean, say this after me. What he has said. No. What he has said. He's going to do. One more time. What he has said. He's going to do. Glory to God. Glory to God. And again, we have to do these things without wavering. Because a person who wavers is somebody who begins to give up their territory and begins to surrender their ground. And as time passes and God's promise seems to be delayed, and please understand, God's delays are not denials, okay? He just knows the timing. But they begin to yield and they begin to recline, and eventually they go to bed on their faith and give up on their expectation and anticipation of what God's going to do in their life. Okay, one more point. Is that okay? I knew it was. All right. I'm going to give you the reason why we should never give up. All right? How many of you believe the word this morning? How many of you know that by reading the word you get to know who God is? Amen. Amen. Excuse me. The believers that the writer of Hebrews was writing to may have said something like this. They may have said, why should we keep believing? I mean, why in the world should we keep praying? We've been believing for such a long time, and absolutely nothing has changed. How many of you have ever been there?
Yeah.
Amen. Maybe they just said, why in the world should we keep doing this? Why should we keep doing this? And the writer gave them and us the reason why we should never give up. And he said this, for he is faithful that promised. I don't know about you, but I am glad he is faithful who promised. I am glad that when I had a stroke and he said he was going to heal me, he is faithful who promised. I'm glad that all the garbage I went through last year, he is faithful who promised. I'm thankful even for the silly thing about not being able to walk last week. It's all better. You know what? He's faithful who promised. Amen?
Amen?
Let me tell you this. If God has made a promise to you, then without a doubt, say without a doubt, he fully intends to deliver on that promise. But, say but, he needs you to get into agreement and alignment with him. Maybe God is ready to answer your question or your prayer. And maybe he's able to give you what you're believing for right now. But God's answers to prayer, in order for them to make it through, you and God, okay, no, please get, this is personal, okay? You and God have to get in agreement and alignment with him and his word. How do you do that? Through faith. You simply believe, all right? You simply believe. And I think I probably preached this probably, I don't know if you can preach it too much, but no, you can't. His word has to be in your heart. Amen? Not just your head, I remember one time when I had just gotten, no, it was before I got saved. Felix, y'all know Felix, right? Yep. Some of you do, good friend of mine. Anyway, he and I were foremen in the same department at work, and we got in some argument about Jesus, like I was anybody to argue, you know. And I told him, "Now, Felix, man, I've read the Bible. I know what it says." And he turned around and he said something to me that just cut me to the heart. He said, "Yeah, Wes, but it's in your head and not your heart." I didn't say nice words when he said that. You got to remember I wasn't saved, okay? But it was true. I knew what the Bible said, but it was in my head and not in my heart. I didn't really have the faith to believe it. But his word has to be in your heart, not just your head. Why? Then out of the abundance of what your heart, what's in your heart, and I'm sure you've read this before, okay? Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak his promises. All right? Good reason to read the word every day. Good reason to get it in your heart. And if you've been believing and you haven't seen the manifestation of what you've been believing for, and I think probably just about everybody in here, on one subject or another is in that spot. But if you're there and now you're tempted to forget and not believe God's promises and just move on with life, hear me, please. Don't give up. No. Come on, hear me now. Don't give up. If you're at a place today, excuse me, if you're at a place today where you just want to give up, it isn't going well with your wife or your husband, it isn't going well with your finances, and maybe you're sick beyond sick, you know, I can only tell you this much. Don't give up, because faithful is he who has promised. Amen? How many of you believe that today? Faithful is he who has promised. Glory to God. You have to stay in a place of faith. Why? Because, simply, he is faithful, the promise. Now, understand, there are so many times when we aren't faithful. God doesn't do that. He's faithful. He's faithful when we're faithful. He's faithful when we're not faithful. He is just plain faithful, okay? The Bible declares this, and I'm just about done, okay? God is not a man, so he doesn't lie. Amen. I'm going to say that again. God is not a man, so he doesn't lie. He is not a human, so he doesn't change his mind. Hallelujah. Come on. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? No. Oh, come on. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through with it? What God promised to do is exactly what he intends to do. We don't understand the timing sometimes, but he will do it, because what? Faithful is he who has what? Promised. Promised. Faithful is he who has promised. He just needs for you and I to get our faith into agreement and alignment with his, okay? So the manifestation can come into our lives. I'm not giving you a formula. I'm giving you a lifestyle, okay? It's not a formula that if you do this, you will do this time. It's what, how do you live? Do you live believing 99% of his promises and throwing one of them out because it hasn't happened for you? You can't do that. Amen. Do you understand? You can't do that. Remember, we had quoted a verse at the beginning of the message. And it says this, and it's such a statement. But without faith, okay, it is impossible to please him. How many of you want to please God this morning?
Amen?
Amen? Amen? It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. How many of you believe that he is? Amen? I would imagine that's why you're here, okay? You believe in God, right? He is, okay? And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And maybe that's a word for somebody today. I mean, you're praying and you're reading, but you know, if you included that word diligently, maybe that isn't what you're doing. Okay? Maybe, just maybe, you know, you pray when you got time, you read when you got time, or maybe you don't have time, so the opposite happens, right? Okay. One more time. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, I can't talk, speak him, or seek him. Just got one more thing. And one more thing. No, I do. Seek him. Amen?
Amen.
Agree with him. And thereby getting yourself in alignment with him. Okay? I hope this made sense to you this morning. I think it's so important that we have faith. It's so important that we don't just parrot his promises. It's important that it comes from our heart. Well, how in the world is it going to get in my heart? Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep believing it. Okay? Seek him, agree with him, and get into alignment with him. Why don't you